Welcome back to Pax Europiana and the podcast about peace in Europe. And this is the EU Days. And this is the second edition to the actually it's a terrible day. The 27th of February 2014 is the day of the annexation, coup d'etat, illegal action of the Russian Republic towards Crimea. And it's a day which shall live in infamy. In the modern European history, of the Second Cold War, this is the most important day because it has shattered the global world order. You can call it the liberal world order or the post-World War II world order or the post-Cold War world order. But nothing was the same after that day because it was the first kind of annexation, the illegal land grab of the Russian Federation since the end of the Second World War. So let's come, and this one will be actually what I promised already in the first one. Maybe you want to listen to the first podcast about all the historic facts about Crimea. Because this one is now focused alone on the comparison between Kosovo and Crimea. Because that was one something Putin introduced. He is a very powerful global communicator, and he has made some inroads in this argument, and I would like to explain where are the parallels and what is basically fiction, where it's actually relevant and where it's not. You know already that the Crimean case, when you have listened to my first podcast, is basically much more comparable with the Anschluss of Austria in 1938, because from the reason basically that was very similar countries, and there was also no suppression in a sense, yeah. I will discuss it. So, but please note that I want to make it very clear in the beginning. The Crimean case is much more comparable with the Austrian Anschluss, and it was a terrible crime. And the Kosovo case is, if there is a parallel, it's obviously Chechnya. There is no doubt. In Kosovo, the West was ready to intervene and save the poor people of the Kosovo Albanians from the destruction from a Slavic regional power. But of course, the Chechenians were destroyed by the Russian Federation in 1999 because Russia has nuclear power. So there was no way anybody could help them. So these are the real comparable cases. Yeah. When it comes now to this comparison between Kosovo and Crimea, I would like to go into the basic facts and argue step by step in this podcast about what is really factual and what is a parallel and what is actually totally a fiction or a delusion or a kind of deflection by the Russian president to justify his evil deeds. Let's come to history first. So Crimea was integrated in Russia in 1783 from the Ottoman Empire, basically. It was an occupation war. And it was occupied and annexed into the Russian Empire 1783. That's around, you know, shortly before the French Revolution and the Napoleonic Wars. And it was before an Ottoman province. The same is true for Kosovo. It was also an Ottoman province. But Serbia could only, in the framework of the Balkan Wars in October 1912, so that's just before the First World War, could occupy Kosovo. Of course, the Serbians called it a liberation, but the people there certainly didn't feel very liberated when there were mass executions and genocidal kind of reprisals against the Albanians and the Muslims and the Turks and the Bosnians, everybody who lived there. So that's basically true. There is a parallel that it was both Ottoman provinces and both by big Slavic powers, Serbia, of course, a bit smaller, but they took it basically by force from the Ottoman Empire, either in 1783 or in 1912. What is also a parallel, that the population there is quite a mixed population. In the Ottoman Empire, as it was also quite a terrible regime, no doubt about it, but you know, they were not making so much differences between their various subjects. And they were living in Kosovo, for example, Albanians, Turks, Roma, Vlachs, Serbs, Bulgarians, and you know, it was a complete Greeks. Yeah? It was a complete ethnic mix. Yeah? But the majority, obviously, were Albanians. Yeah? In Crimea, it was also similar when the Russian Empire, Katerina the Great, she took the Crimea. It was obviously Tatars, Cossacks, Greeks, Armenians, whatever. The whole world was in this crossroads, because both of them, this is also parallel, and they were both typical crossroads. Kosovo is in the center of the Balkans. It is on a classical kind of trading routes, north-south and east-west. And the Crimea is obviously a very important strategic central island, in a way, in the Black Sea. And so there was a lot of movement of population through the centuries, and a lot of communities have stayed, and it was a mix of population. Obviously, there's another parallel, because the Russian and the Serbian empires, what they tried to do is create ethnic identity closer to their wishes. So they did a lot of colonization, they did a lot of genocide and ethnic cleansing in order to change the ethnic composition of this region. So that's really a parallel. Mr. Putin is right, because both Serbia and Russia committed genocide in both regions heavily, trying to expel the population. The most famous case, obviously, is then after the Second World War, or when the Soviet Union reoccupied or liberated the Crimea. Obviously, it was not so nice liberation for the Crimean Tatars, because they were seen as unreliable people. And then they were mass deported towards Siberia or Kazakhstan, and were never allowed to come back until the Soviet Union fell in 91. That's actually the day, is the 18th of May, 1944. That is the day of where they were all transported to Siberia by trains. It was a terrible torture and, of course, a terrible crime. So there is similarities, because also the Yugoslavian authorities, they tried to do this mass deportation towards Turkey. Also the Bulgarians did it, and, you know, that was in a way, a similarity between the Russian crimes and the Serbian crimes. And that's absolutely true. So there are some similarities in criminality of the, because governments, remember, that's very important to understand, governments should treat people equally and fairly and according to the rule of law. Governments in no case should make differences according to ethnic groups and then bomb certain ethnic groups they don't like, or send them away, do ethnic cleansing because they like the blacks or the whites or the greens or the yellows. No, that's not the task of governments. The task of governments, obviously, is not to do a genocide or criminal activity against its own population. I'm sure Mr. Assad is not listening to this podcast, but that's a very fundamental thing what a government, I think, should not do. And here is a similarity between the Russian case and the Serbian case, and here is really a similarity between the destiny of the Crimean people and the Kosovo people. There's also an interesting similarity, which I learned now in the preparation as well when I read all these things. It is that in already 91, the Kosovo Albanians have made a referendum about independence. And that was actually 99% positive for independence. This was after the first declaration of the First Republic by President Rugova, which was in 22nd of September. And then they did a referendum, and it was 80% participation, 99 in favor. So basically everybody from the Kosovo Albanians wanted to escape Yugoslavia, and they wanted to have an independent country. Very important, because there's always this claim they all wanted to be only in Albania. No, no, no. This referendum was clearly for independent Kosovo. That's also quite interesting parallel, because in Crimea there was also a referendum. There were several referendums. I will talk about them in a second. The first one was also in 99, and that was on the 20th of January. And there, 94% of the population, they've voted to be an independent republic inside the Soviet Union. I have to explain that 99, there was still the Soviet Union. It only collapsed at the end of 91. And there was also a referendum about the continuation of the Soviet Union then later in 91. And then there was the independence referendum of Ukraine. But let's first see the parallel. This 91 referendum in January was very clearly for a new state inside the Soviet Union. And imagine if history would have been a bit different, then they would have got their own republic status, according to the wish of the people. They would have been, let's say, the 16th republic of the Soviet Union. And obviously, when the Soviet Union then fell apart, there would have been an independent state from the start, because that is all other 15 republics got this independent status. Obviously, there might have been then a trend to rejoin Russia, but that nobody would have allowed. So Crimea could have been an independent country from 91 onwards, when the world would have listened to the will of the Crimean people in 91. So then there was this other referendum, the most important one, which really brought down the Soviet Union. That was the Ukrainian independence referendum, which by huge margin, also over 90%, was in generally won for independence. But obviously, some of the regions were less in favor. But here we talk about Crimea. And this was 54% in favor, 60% participation, 54% in favor of independence of Ukraine, with Crimea included. Obviously, that's not a huge margin, you know, but we have also Montenegro, who became independent with 55.5% of independence vote. So this is basically how it works in the world. So under normal circumstances, I think everybody should say they have chosen to stay in Ukraine at this moment and voted for independence. Then there's a lot of other arguments to be made, but that is kind of this always the Russian will say, oh, but not everybody voted. Yeah, it was not a gun, at gunpoint, and this was not everybody going. Some people were maybe frustrated because they were not getting the independence they wanted from the beginning, you know, but the ones who went in December 91, they said yes to staying in Ukraine and getting a real independent country. And so then there were a lot of conflicts. So there's also a lot of parallels with Kosovo, because that's the main topic I would like to make this parallel, because there's another important parallel between Kosovo and Crimea, because obviously Kosovo was about 90% Albanian Muslims, and they were suppressed by Slavic imperial Serbs. And it was also that there was about maybe 25% of Crimean Tatars in Crimea, and more of them coming back, because after 91 they couldn't vote at that one, because they were still forced to live in Siberia. Only when the Soviet Union fell, they were allowed to come back, and so gradually more Crimean Tatars came back in their traditional homeland and left Kazakhstan and Siberia forever. So we are then in a phase where the parallel changes a little bit, because in the 90s, after this independent referendum especially, but also in the 80s already, it was quite terrible. And the real terror phase started in the 90s, but in the 80s it was already apartheid. After Tito was dead, already the system for the Kosovo Albanians was completely rigged against them, and they lived in poverty and suppression. It was very bad. But it really got very bad after 91. So basically in the 90s, it was apartheid-style regime. This was racial discrimination, religious discrimination. People were beat up when they were seen with... I know many stories of young children who were going to school of my generation. When they were seen with Albanian books, the Serbian policemen were beating them in the hands and in the heads, yeah, or chasing them. You know, this was really kind of terrible racial dictatorship. That was the situation in Kosovo. While in Ukraine, also in Crimea, this was a holiday paradise for the Ukrainian elite and middle class. It was a little bit run down. You know, this was like the Adriatic coast of Yugoslavia in the 90s. You know, it was, in principle, it's very beautiful, but all these ex-socialist worker hotels and all this kind of tacky stuff, obviously, it was not a paradise in that sense. But, you know, for the Ukrainians of the 90s, it was really the luxury to go. It was easy to go by train overnight. And this was basically where the whole people of Ukraine were dreaming in the summer to go. And many of them have built some summer houses when you live in Zaporozhye or in Dnipro, in one of these big industrial, very dirty cities along the Dnipro. Then you went, you worked all the year to build a small dacha in Crimea when you were lucky, or you were trying to have an apartment, and all the Ukrainian elite basically had a summer house there. Not elite, also the middle class. It was basically like in Austria, what we do in Croatia. When you have some money, you want to have an apartment in Croatia, basically. That's for the Ukrainians. So it was, nobody was suppressed in Crimea. Nobody was threatened. Nobody was beaten up. Yeah, maybe some criminal mafia gang had some internal fights. But you know, that's, I cannot exclude that there was. It was not a paradise on the world. Yeah, but it is actually quite a nice place, and it was perfectly okay there. You know, there was no ethnic suppression. There was no genocide. Yeah. There was holiday. This is the reality, and this is the fact. And there were no human rights suppressions. It's all a total, completely lie that there was anybody discriminated by his language or by his Russian ethnicity. If anybody was poor, it was more the Crimean Tatars who lived in the countryside, and they were seen like they were not. You know, they were seen like the Russians in general, and the Ukrainians also have treated them not very much as the mainstream population, if I may say it so politely. This has changed in Ukraine now after the occupation and after the war. The Crimean Tatars are in very high regards. And actually, their restaurants in Kiev are the best places and really wonderful. And actually, the food is very similar to Kosovo as well, because they have a similar culinary kind of tradition like in Kosovo, basically because culturally, in a sense, there is some relation between Kosovo and the Crimean Tatars, this Ottoman kind of kebab and this kind of tradition of this Mediterranean cuisine. I like it very much, and maybe Putin meant this one with the similarity. So then maybe Putin didn't mean the culinary situation. He meant more the intervention of the West. Yeah, I understand it. And his intervention in Crimea, that was the idea of similarity. But, you know, is it really like this? In 1999, the West went into Kosovo and also then had to go to Serbia to make this liberation campaign. You know, because Milosevic wanted the land without the people, and a million of them he had already outside. And he was using extreme military state terror against the people. And that's why we went, and nothing else. Yeah. And it was in Ukraine, to my best information, and I have checked all the thing and talked to many people, there was a holiday paradise until 2014. And it was wonderful in places where everybody wanted to go, to swim, to have party life, to dance, to be bronze, and to whatever kind of have this kind of sun. There was no human rights violation to my best knowledge. Yeah? And then they started with the intervention, with the little green men. The Russians came, they militarized this peninsula, and they started all this kind of human rights violations against Crimeans who were pro-Ukrainian and against the Crimean Tatars. And they killed and imprisoned many people, forced disappearances, kind of human rights violations like they happen in Russia, but much more extreme. And it's really, that's the result. So when you see the comparison and you compare the two nations, Kosovo was a disaster zone before in human rights and genocide, suppression and ethnic expulsion. And afterwards, I will come to that one. And then in Crimea, it was very different because before everything was okay. And now actually it's very bad. And true, in Kosovo after 1999, there was also a difficult phase until 2004. In the beginning, there was joy and happiness, and there was, of course, a lot of celebrations. But then in Kosovo, it's true, there came some kind of mafia killings, and there was also some major inner Albanian violence. Yes, that's true. There was also the 2004 riots, which were a direct result of the change of attitude after the assassination of Cinčić in 2003, because the Albanians in Kosovo knew very much what will be their destiny if they have to stay in this Yugoslavian rump state, which definitely they didn't want. Then came the tragic events of 2004, and that was basically the last time there was ethnic violence in Kosovo, and this has also then led to a crystallization point that there need to be negotiations and there needs to be independence of Kosovo, and it also happened in 2008. Yeah, while at the same time, I think nothing similar has happened in Crimea, to my best knowledge, until 2014. And 2014 was then all this sad decline of human rights standards and these human rights violations, these abductions, these beatings, this force by the state against the population. Good. I don't know exactly where the similarities are in that one, but let's talk about, for example, the situation of Kosovo being first under UN administration, because that was exactly the situation of Kosovo. And Kosovo from 1999 to 2008, and partially after that one as well, and especially in the north of Kosovo, is under international administration and supervision. It's called UNMIC. Yes, many people propose the same for Crimea in order to have objectivity, understanding what is really happening, international supervision and administration. That's why actually we have built the United Nations for exactly this kind of conflicts like Crimea and Kosovo. And so there is a parallel on that one. And I wonder why, if Mr. Putin sees the parallel so much, why he doesn't allow a UN mission to take over the administration. That would be some 10 years, and then there would be a status settlement. Also, that was the case, because then, after 10 years in Kosovo, UNMIC came 10 years international support, administration, reconstruction, reconciliation, and all the efforts, and then was a status settlement, the independence. Yes, you know, it is completely possible to have independence also for Crimea. If that's the parallel Mr. Putin sees, I think it's one possibility, yeah? You know, if they really think they are this kind of independent nation, like in 91, they wanted to be an independent republic in the Soviet Union, I think if that is under international supervision, with a clear voting record, with the OSCE supervising this vote, and on that vote is the option to return to Ukraine or to be an independent republic, I think the whole world would say, if they have then voted and it was clear and everybody who lived before 2014 could also return and vote in this international supervised vote, and it's according then a result for independence, yes, I think that would be totally feasible to regulate the situation. So I think that would be a good parallel between Kosovo and Crimea, and I can see that, yeah. Maybe Mr. Putin meant that, and maybe that's a good idea. So, NATO liberation 99 was to end the genocide. Yeah? The Russian coup of 2014 was the revenge for Euromaidan, basically. And this is, I think, important to understand. And it was a long kind of a dream to have the whole control of the Black Sea Fleet, which is based on the Crimean, not the capital, but the main port, Sevastopol, and to have that in Russia. So it was a typical imperial annexation project under the ethnic pretense. And so the logic is this was getting the nationalities abroad back into the empire. And that's what we in Germany and Austria call Heim ins Reich. So that was Anschluss. Yeah. And there is a very clear parallel between the Crimea of 2014 and Austria of 1938. It's absolutely obvious, yeah. And obviously it was, the difference was the international reaction, because the world has learned from this crime to appease in Munich and basically accept this Anschluss and just hope not for war. And yes, let's have peace. And Hitler then got also the German parts, the German-speaking parts of Czechoslovakia as a present in Munich, and so on and so on. And it was a full disaster. He then later took the whole of Czechoslovakia. And only then, when he started to take Poland, also with the justification that one third of Poland was German territory until, so there was a lot of, you know, in Versailles, there was also, he always finds a reason. Yeah, Hitler was a master to find reasons, as Putin finds a reason to do his thing, but the thing was basically an annexation under the pretense of ethnic unity of all Germans in Germany or as of all Russians in Russia. So the parallel for me is 100%. In Kosovo, obviously, it's the parallel with Chechnya, because that's also a small mostly Muslim minority living in a big Slavic empire, and that's exactly the situation for Albanians living in Serbia or Yugoslavia. I think it's quite logical. We have the parallel. Chechens are mostly Muslims. They were in the 19th century, in the middle of the 19th century, the Russian Empire was able to subdue in terrible genocides the Cherkessians and also the Chechenians and many other of the North Caucasian people and the South Caucasian people as well. And this was basically the time. And then they had to live under this terrible regime and the consequent Soviet Union. And then they wanted to fight for the freedom in 91. They made a referendum. The Russians started a war. They became semi-autonomous in this war because the first war in 94, the Russians were very busy with their own internal parliament coups and civil war, basically. And the Chechenian had this more or less autonomous, almost independent status from 94 to 99. And then, obviously, the Russian leadership saw that the West is ready to liberate Kosovo after Milosevic genocidal ethnic cleansing. And then they were very concerned, and then they plotted to intervene in Chechnya by themselves. And they bombed the Chechenian into complete submission as a power. And they were the state. Again, I repeat, they were the state responsible for care of this region. They were their own citizens. They were all citizens of the Russian Republic with passports and that status. They didn't like that very much, but nevertheless they were. And as a consequence, the Russian Republic has fabricated this war, and they have killed and destroyed Grozny. Maybe you take a look. It was completely destroyed in the October, December to February the war took. And Putin became president by subduing and killing the Chechenians. Obviously, there's also a parallel here, but there's also a difference, because in Serbia is not such a powerful state, so we, as the West, in a sense, there was this humanitarian effort to help and to do, and there was also the capacities, because the Serbs have no nuclear weapon, and they were basically overestimating their own power and influence to kill and to do genocide unpunished. They got the punishment, and Kosovo got independent. In the case of the Russian Federation in 1999, when they did a similar kind of brutal ethnic cleansing and killing of civilians, the West could just idle stand by because there was not a lot to do. Because, first of all, the access to the territory is more complicated. But the main reason is obviously that Russia is a very powerful nuclear state. And obviously, then you can kill unpunished and you can destroy parts of your own population without any punishment. That's unfortunately the international reality. I don't like it at all, and I hope for freedom of Chechnya, but here is obviously a parallel in a way. So the cases are absolutely connected, because and there is absolutely truth that there is a connection, because the Russian leadership saw that the West is ready to fight for the Kosovo Albanians not to be destroyed, and then they decided that they prefer to destroy their own Muslim population in Chechnya, in this war, and to subdue them, and so that the West has no kind of opportunity to ever come back. And they made it very clear that they will never allow it by the threat of nuclear war. And so there is a parallel, but it's a bit of a different parallel than Mr. Putin's parallel. I think that must be clear. So I think I could explain more or less clearly what is the parallels. There are some. What is the difference? Obviously, it's good. Kosovo is an independent state at now, and it was a major achievement, and it's a very nice republic. I recommend you to visit. Now, it's not so easy to visit Crimea, because it's an outlawed statelet, which is annexed illegally to the Russian Federation. You have to go via Russia to Crimea, and then go basically via Russia back, and don't get any passport stamped, because you will not be allowed to enter Ukraine anymore. So it's a bit of a complete mess which Mr. Putin has made as a kind of a revenge to the loss of Ukraine, because despite all this kind of rise of Putin, which everybody says, and Putin as a global power and as a clever maneuver kind of guy, he has in the reality with all his kind of global grandstanding, he has destroyed the reputation of the Russians in the world for decades to come because of the terrible crimes they have committed in Syria and in Ukraine and in Libya and many other places. And also now the Western resolve will be much stronger against this kind of antiques. And also when you see that he is now claiming that the Crimeans live in happiness and they are also pleased with being part of Russia. Let's see that independently once the UN is taking over Crimea, because this will be really happening. And in 20, 30 years when the referendum will come about Crimean status, let's see where they really want to be. Do they choose independence? Do they choose the return to Ukraine? Let's see how the popular will of the people of Crimea is in 20 and 30 years. Until then, maybe you can exploit and destroy the human rights of the people of Crimea continuously, of all the people you don't like. Yeah, that's something said. We will make sure that Kosovo is joining NATO and that Kosovo is joining the EU and that the Kosovo people live in peace, security and prosperity for now already and in the future. And this will be also one of the most important parallels and differences between the free people of Kosovo and the suppressed people of Crimea. So thanks a lot for that. And always think the 27th of February, a very tragic day in European history. Never forget it. And always, when you are somewhere, cheers for free Crimea. It will be like Cuba as well. Cuba Libre and Crimea Libre. One day it will be free again. Thanks a lot for listening.